Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is December the 5th, 2019. And so this month we're going to do our calls on the first and third Thursday of the month so we can get them both, have them both before the holidays here. So it's 5th today, and then the next one will be on the 19th of December, if you could put that on your calendar to do our calls before people might be leaving for the holidays. And, welcome, Matt, and welcome, I think there's other people on the line, too, that are maybe Michelle and Paul and Evan that are on the call, but they may be on mute because they're traveling, and others, too. That sounds great. And so I wanted to first, the most important thing is to answer your questions and comments. So if you have some, we can do those first here. And then I just wanted to talk about performance mindset tools for the winter, since we're going into the winter months here. And sometimes it can get, it's cold, can be cold and sometimes depressing for athletes. Are hard to train in the dark and the cold in the winter months, and sometimes injuries come up, and or they have to take a break from their sports, or sometimes if it's a winter sport, of course, they're gearing up, and so it depends on the sport that you're working with. But we could talk about how successful athletes train in the dark and cold winter months, and then avoiding those winter slumps, injuries, and talk about the different critical elements for most athletes, and then and how to be mentally tough through the holiday season. Sometimes holidays bring up a lot of pain. It can be joyful, but also bring up a lot of pain for people if they've been through tough times during the winter months. So that's important to talk about, and then gratitude. How you can be, how that can really help your athletic perspective, and the science and psychology of gratitude for performance and health, and attitude for how athletes can have that grateful attitude, and how gratitude and performance are connected, and how we can practice gratefulness every day, different exercises, and turning that negativity into gratefulness. I think this is a really good time of year to do that now that we're approaching the end of the year, and you can kind of be grateful for the things that you're, as the coaches, be grateful for the, the things that we have, as the clients. I'm grateful for all of you, for this, that are in this program, so we can come together and talk about the ups and downs and get through, work through different issues that are, that come up for you, and be helpful as I can. And then, and you can help your athletes to be grateful for, just the, the other day I was just out running with a friend, and we were kind of complaining that it's cold and it was raining. But, I thought, wow, we need to be, what can I be grateful for here? Well, I'm grateful just for the gift of running, right? Just the gift of being able to get out there and move. We take that for granted so many times, but just to, to not be injured at the moment and be able to move and do well. And just even to, even if I'm running slowly because it's so cold and out, it's grateful that we can get out here and move, get those endorphins going, and then feel so much better afterward. So there's so much that we can be grateful for, even if it's difficult conditions. Maybe, it was cold that day, but it wasn't windy, so be grateful for the calm weather, that kind of thing. So it's good. Sometimes you have to dig for finding out what you are grateful for. And then we can talk about, turning that negativity into gratefulness, and different exercises for incorporating gratefulness into your day, and starting every workout with gratitude. That's a really important thing to, I think, get your mind in the right place, just being grateful for that workout that day, and recognizing our strengths, lifting those can be something you're grateful for, and then using visualizations around gratitude. So, Matt, can I check in with, is there someone else that just joined us too?
Yeah, hello, this is Evan.
Oh, hi, Evan, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, glad you could join us, yeah. And, did someone else just join us too?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle. Sorry,
oh,
I'm late.
Oh, that's okay.
How
thanks for joining us. Yeah, so we got Matt and Michelle and Evan. So far, other people are, I think, on mute, too. You know, they're traveling. So, yeah, just introducing our topic today of performance mindset tools for the winter and gratefulness. And then wanted to be able to check in with all of you and answer your questions and comments. And also, I just want to make an announcement about something to be aware of that's coming up. That some of you, if you have a YouTube channel, you might have, this is sort of a technical thing, but really important, that YouTube, you might have gotten an email that YouTube is announcing there's going to be a change to their terms of service on December 10th, which is coming right up here next Tuesday. And so we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Hopefully everything will stay the same for a while, but there's a term, a phrase in their terms of service that says YouTube will be removing all videos that are not commercially viable. And everyone's freaking out if you Google those terms. Don't do it now, but, you know, let's do the talk, and then afterwards you can do research on it, and if you want, or just look up those terms, Google that, and read about it. And a lot of people who make their money off of YouTube are freaking out and thinking, what does this mean? Removing all videos that are not commercially viable. I'll try to give you more information on our next call, but from what I understand, the most important thing to do at this point is to make sure that your videos on YouTube are backed up in some way. So, for instance, you know, I've done a lot of videos on Google Hangouts that we used to have, and so they would go right from this Google Hangouts video conferencing program right onto YouTube. And then I just assumed that they would always be there, but now we can't assume that our videos will always be there, so it's important that you can download your videos on there. Just go to YouTube and you can click download, or just Google it, how to download your YouTube videos, and just make sure that they are backed up on your own hard drive. So if anything does happen with YouTube, that they that you have your YouTube videos, precious videos that you own and that you created, and in some cases we might need to host them somewhere else. Like if you have a Dropbox account, you could, you know, have them there, or on or you could go to you know, if you have an Amazon AWS account like I do, you can host things there very cheaply. I've been hosting things there. It's paid, but the bill I get once a month is like 18 cents a month. You know, it's tiny, tiny. So if you have a whole lot of videos, it might be, you know, a few, just slightly more, but it's very inexpensive on Amazon AWS account to host videos. So the first step is just to make sure that all your videos are backed up on your hard drive, on your computer at home, and then so that you have a copy of them in case anything does happen. What the interpretation is now currently is that YouTube is just trying to protect themselves, and maybe they're just going to eliminate channels that, you know, that have hate speech and that do white supremacy speech and you know, violence, and that there's so much of that now on YouTube, and dangerous child videos. So they're trying to remove those, which is understandable. That's a good thing. Oh, and someone else just joined us too. I just heard a ding. Did someone just join us?
It's me, Dr. Joanne. There's something funky going on with my internet. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, good you're here. Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, and so the interpretation is that, it may be just that YouTube is eliminating videos that are not, you know, with hate speech, that are not good videos. or violent videos, which we don't want anyway on the internet. But another interpretation people are saying is that YouTube may be going the way that other, like Flickr has done and LinkedIn, where they eliminate some features, a lot of features on the site in order to do the things you want to do as a business owner, that you have to pay for a membership fee. And so to get the premium account, they may be, rolling that out at some point. And so we may have to pay a membership fee to get a premium account for YouTube, which is an option. So, which I don't personally mind doing, but we just need to be aware of that may be coming, because that seems to be what's happening with other social media channels now. That it may be something that we have to pay for to get our services up there, because they don't want to pay for, promoting small businesses. So the first step is just to make sure that your own videos are backed up, and then a second step might be to be active on YouTube. If you haven't uploaded anything to your YouTube channel in the last 6 months, they might look at that unfavorably. So it's good to at least upload a video. It could be a small 1 minute video that you create, or something to show that you have activity on YouTube in order to keep your YouTube channel active. So I just want to tell you that that's coming. And if you got it, the email on YouTube's change to terms of service, read through it, and the best thing is just to Google that, the terms, look it up, what are Google's change in their terms of service, and read other articles about it on, different articles that come up to see different terms, and you'll see there, what the opinions are currently. But on December 10th, which is next Tuesday, they might start making changes, or they might send an email asking for, that there's a premium service if you want that, to pay a membership fee. There might be something like that. So I just wanted to let you know that may be coming, and that's something we all have to do. And that just to be aware that we can't, that these things with YouTube, with social media, they're wonderful things. I'm so grateful myself and all of you that, people that have had videos up there for 20 years that are really valuable videos that people go to see. And so YouTube's been able to promote what I do to other athletes and that kind of thing, and hopefully you're doing that too. All this time they've been doing that for free, which is wonderful. So we need to all be grateful for that, and know that now it may be that we have to, that they're not going to be so gracious about that, or that you have to pay a fee, and so we're not sure. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. So, so there's that, and then I just want to check in with all of you about comments or questions you have about either the topic here or just general questions that you have about, because I love chatting with you about what you're doing with your athletes, that kind of thing, or any examples of gratefulness or getting through the winter months. So anybody can jump in, Matt or Evan or Michelle.
Dr. Joanne, I have a question, and I don't know if it doesn't probably pertain to today's discussion, so I don't know if you want to answer it today, but I have an athlete she is in Cirque du Soleil. She's one of performers. Yeah, pretty cool.
Oh, that's a great group. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a real honor.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a Canadian company, too, so maybe that's why I got the call, but she has had a lot of injuries, and she's having a hard time because she's terrified she's going to get injured again. So she's, scared out there, shoulder injuries. And she, I don't know if you have any great insights or perspectives.
Yeah, on the sort of fear of the injuries?
Yeah, fear of re-injuring it. And so she's not going for it as much anymore. So, and I know I'm just like catching you totally out of the blue with this question. So.
Oh, it's okay. I was thinking of, we talked a little bit about that with, I think, Evan, you had a similar question on the last call about a gymnast that had a fear of injuries, and it's a similar kind of thing where I think what is good to do is to try. I'm not sure if you were on that call, Michelle, but it's just to other some ideas. Is because it's obviously, you know, it's like gymnastics on steroids with Cirque du Soleil, right?
Yeah.
They're really performing and dancing, and it's just really high level stuff. To ask when did she first get to have the fear, and is it oftentimes it starts with a fear of a specific. Events, you know, maybe it's the high. Did she specialize in something like trapeze or tightrope walking or something? Are you there?
Oh, yeah. No, she does it all, and she's ruined one shoulder, and that's fully recovered and healed, and she's had surgery on it. But she does trapeze, she does the tumbling, she does, you know, the acrobatics up in the air. And then the second surgery has been injured, and she's just recovering from that, although it's pretty much good to go now, but she's got this lingering fear that she's going to have another setback and re-injure it. So she doesn't trust her shoulder.
Yeah, I can totally understand that, since she's been through a lot, and it is something that a lot of, first to normalize it for her and say that it's just something that almost every athlete goes through, a fear of injury or a fear that something's going to happen. And it's not just out of the blue. It's certainly, justified that that she's got that that fear. And it's something that you can, first acknowledging it. I think, you know, sometimes athletes don't want to think about, they think, oh, I'm just freaking out, or the coach will say, don't worry about it, you know, you're just focusing too much on that, just get over it, that kind of thing. But I think as coaches, we need to help athletes acknowledge the fear and ask her to talk about it a little bit, and then in order to face the fear, you have to first acknowledge it head on, and then be able to clearly let it rise to the surface, and in order to give you ability to analyze it and, you know, write it down and keep a journal of progress, that kind of thing. But then define its boundaries, I think, is an important thing to ask. What's the history of the fear? Well, you know that she's been injured with a shoulder, but is it? It may be a specific skill or routine that, you know, something that is hardest for her shoulder. And so in that case, to find out if she has an option of doing easier events for a little while so she can get her confidence back, you know, that doesn't involve so much of the injured area. It's always good to take baby steps. I always circle it so away. Boy, it's really hard to take baby steps in your sport because you're doing death-defying kinds of things. So if she can't take baby steps with the physical part, you could help her take baby steps with visualization and imagine doing an easier event. And doing that well, and then working up to a medium event, and then working up to a harder event in her mind, so that you can kind of gain that confidence first with mentally, and then you know, doing that with going back and forth from the mental to the physical. So imagining a mental, mentally, I imagine an easy event, and then I have her practice that easy event physically, and getting through that okay, and then, you know, ask her what is the easiest event to do in the Cirque du Soleil, and have her work on that and get that down, and then next step, visualize a kind of medium hard event, and visualize that several times in her mind and see it going well, and being able to relax through it and breathe. And if she has trouble with that, you know, just keep going back to breathing, and then being able to imagine it again. And then once she gets that, then you could practice that move from the mentally imagining to the physical, the medium event, and then then go to visualizing a harder, once that's real, she has that, and feeling confident there, visualize a harder event, and then do it mentally, and then do it physically. So that's kind of one way to do a progression kind of thing. It might be a little helpful. And the important thing is for her to be open with you about the problems that you have, encouraging her to be open with her coach. If she has there's probably lots of coaches, or not sure how that works with Cirque du Soleil, but yeah, find out what her relationship is with the coach. Oftentimes athletes have a difficult time telling a coach about injuries because they're worried they might get kicked off the team or kicked off the event. So finding out if she can, is there a way that she can, you know, when workers get injured on most jobs, I know in the U.S., they're able to come back to work part-time first or with limited skills and doing part of the work and then gradually working into it. And so thinking of it with that kind of model, if there's a way that she can gradually work into her events from easier to harder, and having the coach to be able to facilitate that, that would be the best thing. And teach her how to be assertive with her coach. That's really an important skill. I know I'm working on that with a swimmer. I'm working on to be assertive with a coach that's being too domineering. And so being able to say, okay, coach, here's what I want to, and start with, you know, use that sandwich technique of when she talks to the coach to say something positive first. I know we want to have a successful Cirque du Soleil team, and we want the coach to be here. You want me to be successful, and here's a way that I could do that best. And then talk about the difficult part. Say I need to do some, stay with the easier skills first and then gradually work up to the harder skills to make sure that I'm really confident. And then do the last part of the sandwich is to, you know, finish close with something positive. And again, saying that that's the way that we can all win with this and could be a really strong part of the team. So that kind of thing, to teach her how to have that conversation with the coach so that the coach doesn't put a lot of extra pressure on her. Yeah, and then have her imagine every skill in a really positive way, because she might be sometimes picturing in her mind that she's falling or re-injuring, so to try to change that to a really positive script in her mind, a positive result, playing that over and over in her head to kind of change the channel from the injury channel. Think of it like a radio, it's the injury channel, and then changing it over to the healthy channel and the radio, pushing a different button so you can be able to replay the good scenario over and over in your mind. Or if there's a really tough little spot in the routine, you know, kind of go over that slowly in her mind so that you can get it down just right and be more confident with that, and then speed it up kind of thing. So, and then just to find out what her negative self-talk is around it, and then be able to, you know, kind of do that left side, right side exercise with the paper of enlisting her fears on the left side of the page, and then with each fear, let's come up with three positive reframing on the right-hand side, say, you know, I'm afraid of getting injured, and then on the right side, say, you know, maybe include the gratefulness that we're talking about today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in Cirque du Soleil. I'm grateful for the chance to have this gift of training and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so those are kind of things. And then trust, I guess, is a big thing to, you know, just be able to relax and, you know, trust your physical abilities with trust that she knows how to do this. She's done it in the past, and she can do this again just as well. That trust is a huge thing. And be able to say that as a positive power word affirmation. I trust in my training. I trust in my abilities. Yeah, and just keep it going. So I hope that helps, Michelle. If you're there, you might be on mute.
Thank you very much, Dr. Joanne. Yep, that's really helpful. Do you find there are some athletes that are more susceptible to injuries than others, and it's related to their head game? Like, I look at a Federer versus a Raonic, who is our Canadian tennis player, and he's always injured. And yet Federer has been playing forever, and this guy just seems to be cruising through. And I know there's probably biomechanics and physiology and so on, but do you think there's a mindset that contributes to more injuries in some than others?
Yes, I think so, definitely, yeah. There's the physiology part, but then the mindset part, I think there's the mindset of, I always get injured, or asking those why questions. Why am I always the one that gets injured? You know, when you're thinking about that and you use the word injury a lot in your mind, you know, then you're reinforcing the very thing that you want to that you want to avoid. So I think it's better to say I'm working on being healthy, and, you know, using getting that healthy word into your vocabulary and into the thought process a lot more than, you know, if you're using injured. It's like that camera, you know, putting the focus on focus on injuries, and when you do that, then injuries are going to come more easily. Or you come up to a pothole and say, don't step in the pothole, and you step right in it. Or the golf player that says, don't get into the sand pit, and sure enough, you know, we're focusing on that, so that's right where the ball goes. So, yeah, being able to change the focus to, how can I get healthier, and how can I stay healthy, and what can I do each day to get healthier and stronger, and you know, maybe if you guys have to acknowledge the injury part, but to keep it in the background more and change it to healthy images, I think it's, so that's a huge thing you could help with the mindset part, I think. Say I'm getting healthy, and just things like affirmations, like getting healthier and stronger every day, doing things to help myself through that. So yeah, that kind of thing. I know I went through that myself as an athlete. Last year, I was, my left side leg is, I think, a little weaker because I had a surgery there. You know, it's a bicycle accident and broke my leg a few years, and I didn't realize it's weaker, and I was tripping over things, tripping over rocks and falling when I was, and it developed into a fear for me of fear of falling, a fear of getting injured, and because it had happened about three times, and then I realized, had a personal trainer do an assessment, we realized, oh, your left side is weaker, you need to focus on, you know, strengthening those glute muscles on the left-hand side, so I'm doing lots of balancing exercises, standing on, just as I'm talking to you right now, I'm standing on one leg, I'm standing on my left leg,
yeah.
you know, to strengthen that side, you know, simple things you can do, right? So doing the flamenco stand, standing with one leg, and then I stand on the other leg. It's something simple like that, and I, you know, have more of a focus of, okay, I'm getting stronger, I'm getting healthy, as opposed to worrying about when am I going to, when's the next time I'm going to fall, which is can be scary. So thinking about, you know, asking yourself, what can I do each day to strengthen the muscles I need, and then you know, strengthen the muscles physically, and then also strengthen those muscles mentally. Yeah, inside, you got to think about the mental muscles, too, of getting stronger. So now, so that you can go out and be confident. So, yeah, hope that helps, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So how about just checking in with Evan and Matt? You guys, do you have questions or comments about athletes that you're working with?
Yeah, Joanne, I guess just a quick comment on actions and functions of the body. But since I do a bit of work with physiotherapy, we deal with sometimes it's phantom pain. Is what we refer to when athletes actually are so stressed about getting injured again that they will feel the pain where it's really pretty much in their heads and nothing's showing up on the testing. And then other times we're looking at actions versus functions. So, for example, if your psoas is a hip flexor and that's the action, what the function can be to stabilize the lumbar spine. So that would be a scenario where maybe their back hurts because they're so guarded, because they're tense, because they're thinking about how they need to have stability in their lower spine instead of just allowing their body to do what it can naturally do, is what we kind of call integrative function. So they lose their natural athletic integrative function and response because they're overthinking it, if you will. So I don't know if that helps Michelle at all, but that's pretty common what tends to happen there. So it's in effect, it is happening from the mindset, but it becomes physical because they've actually changed the way that their actions are. Does that make sense?
Yes, and do you want to know something incredibly ironic? I was stretching my hip flexors as you were talking to me before you came on the call.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I had the pillow under my knee, and I was stretching the psoas, the hip flexors. Unreal.
Ah, that's amazing. You guys are thinking there.
Yeah,
I'm stretching them too as you're talking. Yeah, that's great.
So on the winter training side of things, I feel like you got to try to check all these boxes with your athletes, and we have just had some decent snow here in Reno now in the last couple weeks, but especially this last week, and we're going to the CIM marathon on Sunday. That's right. Yeah. And in fact, we were just at the North Face Trail Championships a couple weeks ago in San Francisco. And one of my guys, Bill, he had a huge PR there. He won his division. So big day for him. And super happy for him. And then the CIM coming up here will be his last race. And he's just been on fire, so we've been feeling really good about his progressions, his training. But, you know, he was out running in the conditions. It was, I think, probably about 3 inches of snow, and he ended up slipping and tweaking his, basically sheared his knee. And so we've been dealing with that. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, just shaking my head, and I'm thinking, why didn't you just get on the treadmill today? And I didn't think he was going to get out there and run in those conditions. And so, you know, there's just a lot of things that do come up where I know my athletes want to get outside. I want to be outside. I don't want to be stuck inside, but there are some days where you just should probably stay inside and get on the treadmill and just suck it up for, you know, for that day instead of being, you know, putting yourself risk versus reward, I think. But, you know, I just kind of think, oh, man, okay, I probably should have covered this with him. I just assumed he wouldn't try to do this session outside today, and he was just doing some, you know, some light running and it just kind of, you know, escaped me, and I didn't think about it. Now we're kind of, you know, trying to get ahead of it, but we're kind of dealing with that last minute before his marathon. So, you know, things come up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good to be aware of. Yeah, it's always that last, it's like skiing, the last run of the day. You think, oh, geez, oh, I got to get in that last run, and it's the one where we get injured, right? Michelle, you probably know about that. Or the surfing, you know, the last run, right? one more run, something happens. So it's good to be, listen to that little voice inside. If it is, yeah, that says, I don't know about this, or maybe it's better to be conservative and hold off a little bit, or do the thing that's going to be safer, because that athletic part, always wanting to. It's like when I had that bicycle incident. It was 7 years ago. I was riding through. There's some water ahead of me, and I was saying, "Oh!" One voice is saying, "Well, yeah, there's water there. Maybe you better watch out." And the other voice is saying, "Oh, don't be a wimp. Come on, just go for it. You've gone through that water before, and it should be okay." You know, that be strong. Just do it. And so that part of me took over, and I just did it. And then, sure enough, it was slick, and the bike fell, and I fell and broke my leg, broke my hip and leg, and ended up in the next thing I know, I'm in the emergency room. So it's important to listen to the voice that's kind of the caretaking voice, right? That's kind of saying, take care of yourself, or this might be dangerous here. Watch out for that. I guess maybe we could help our athletes to tune into that voice a little more, especially in the winter time. It's okay to be a little thoughtful of what does my body need right now, or is there another way, like you were saying, the treadmill, is there another way I could get this workout in with, you know, that's less risky if it's, you know, really cold out or really slippery, or something outside. I could do a indoor workout. So kind of asking those questions of ourselves is really important. So thank you, Matt, for that. Yeah, that's great. Important to have those. And thank you for the distinction there. Yeah, you've got another perspective for us with the physiotherapy and the action versus function kind of thing, and sometimes just allowing the body to do what it naturally does, getting back to that is important. So that's great. Yeah, thanks, Matt. And, oh, Evan, are you there too? Do you have a question or any comments about what we're talking about here?
Actually, I don't have any question. It's pretty great to listen to you. I'm very interested. So no question for today.
Okay, well, let me talk about the, and then if things come up, you can just jump in. I just wanted to talk about, with the winter months coming, sometimes it can get really difficult for athletes, or, you know, in the dark, a lot of people get affected by when there's a lot more darkness. So, you know, you can end up, having difficulty with motivation for working out, and it can be sometimes tough to get through the tough times in the wintertime. And so I think it's good to be able to have some things that you can do to get through that time. And some of the things to look for in your athletes are things like asking questions. A lot of things like does your energy might change like the seasons. Some people have what's called SAD. It's called seasonal affective disorder, or they might just have symptoms of that. Or some people call it winter depression, and it can be brought on by the winter season. Often, you know, if you're in a country or place that you know where we change the clocks back in the winter too, you know, that we did in end of November here, where all of a sudden it's an hour, it gets darker an hour earlier, and then it gets darker with the winter too. You can have things like to look for in your athletes are like a fatigue or loss of energy, a sense of tiredness or low energy, or less energy than usual. The training seems harder than usual, and ask about kind of a loss of interest or pleasure. You can ask athletes about that. It's good to do it in a session when you're actually talking with them as opposed to just a questionnaire, I think. You know, there could be social withdrawal what's previously pleasurable. Workouts seem to be, having less desire to do those. Some athletes get depressed mood throughout the day, feeling sad or discouraged or kind of down in the dumps, or a slump, you know, is what we talk about in athletics, having that sense of not caring. And or it could be the other way with a sense of agitation and, you know, kind of anxiety or irritability or restlessness, inability to sit still. They're kind of anxious about everything. And then appetite is important to look for. If athletes have an increased, eat more than usual or less than usual, or craving specific foods like sweets or fats, that can be in relation to mood. And so it's good to ask about that and be able to give people some alternatives and ways that they can, especially with the holidays, there's so many parties and chocolates around and sweets. It's good to have them focus on really healthy foods, especially in the winter, to avoid getting sick too. A lot of athletes get sick and get colds or flu. So if you can get regular sleep, or I advise people to get more sleep than usual. You know, if it's 8 hours is normal, try to get 8.5 or 9 hours sleep, and that can really help you, help your athletes to avoid getting ill. Or some athletes have that feeling of, not having a purpose, feelings of worthlessness, or feeling guilty about not doing workouts, that kind of thing. And a negative evaluation of yourself, or, you know, if they're thinking about past failings, that they messed up in the past and that kind of thing, self-blaming, or they're taking a responsibility for things that they are beyond their control, like a runner might be, the whole team lost in a track meet, and the athlete says it was because of my performance that we lost, when it might be the whole team that's responsible. So it's important to help the athlete put those things into perspective and say, let's put like a list of what things are under your control and which things aren't, and so that you're not taking too much control over other people. And then, an impaired ability to concentrate, that can be something to look for too with the winter kind of sadness, difficulty focusing on making decisions or memory issues. You know, they forget about where their keys are or where their race equipment is, those kinds of things. So looking for that, and also sleep, as I mentioned, if they have trouble going to sleep or trouble staying asleep or oversleeping with no desire to get up, that can then indicate more depression. And if someone is really severely depressed with suicidal thoughts, then that's a good time to refer to a psychologist. If you are a some people in the group, in our program, are psychologists themselves, and you could work with that person, or if you know of one, it's good to have a psychologist or a therapist you can refer to just for those specific things, and then you could continue to work with them for on their athletic performance mindset. But just to be aware of that. And then being able to, some of the things you can help athletes do about it is, you know, looking at the power of light, first of all, you know, with our visual system is such a, it's like a, you know, what we see with our eyes is it's an image processing unit. So it's kind of a light meter for the brain and the body. And so you can think of us as solar powered in some ways, since light affects everything we do. It affects our mood, it affects our hormonal system, it affects our sleep-wake cycle. And so we can think of light as a natural Prozac, really. It optimizes the levels of key of neurotransmitters and hormones like you know, serotonin, which helps us feel good and relax, norepinephrine, melatonin, which helps us sleep. All those things stabilize mood and mental activity. And so you want to enhance your mental and physical energy level. And with, you know, when we get the proper amount of light, it gives us those, that good energy level and gives us that motivation to train harder. And, you know, today, so much of our time, for most people, 95% of the time is indoors under light that's not really adequate. They're just, you know, fluorescent lights. And so our bodies are really crying out for more light. So so the effect of light is so powerful. You know, people have begun to use what's called light therapy to help with the symptoms of if they have seasonal affective disorder or mood changes during the winter. So, yeah, you can. That's one thing you can do is get those light. They're called a bright light box and a lamp that give. They deliver like 10,000 lux, L-U-X, which is units of light, and that's one way if you're inside a lot. But of course, the best thing is to spend more time outside. And even if it's just a quick little break to go for a 5-minute walk in between for work, and then when you're doing your workout, to try to do the workout outside in the light, even if it's raining or if the weather isn't that great, you can still, just being outside in natural light really makes a huge difference. And if you're in nature, that's even better, on a trail or someplace in the trees. So, like for runners, you know, encouraging runners to get out in the, not just do running on streets, but get to the trail, even if it's muddy. I run on muddy trails all the time. And it's, you just, you know, just enjoy the fresh outdoors. So, Michelle, you're up in Canada, we're, you know, with skiers. It's good to be outside there and do as much as you can outside. And so you want to encourage your athletes to get more light. And so that means going to bed earlier and getting up earlier when there's more light in the morning is really helpful. So at nighttime, you know, there's less light, so why not go to bed earlier? It's like when you're camping out, you go to bed earlier because you don't have the electric lights. And so kind of if we can live indoors like we're camping out and get to bed earlier and then get up as soon as the morning light so that we can get all the light and take advantage of that, like our natural Prozac, thinking of it that way, and it provides your body with that vitamin D. And then be able to go for, say, a noontime walk or during the peak sunlight hours, walk or run or swim or bike or whatever the sport is, to be able to do that during the peak hours, ideally, you know, between 11 and 2 or 3 o'clock when it's peak light and also warmer, the warmest part of the day. So getting more light, becoming an early riser, to, as I mentioned, to get up early and soak up energy from the sun, and to go to bed earlier, enjoy the longer, and then enjoy longer days as the after we get past December 21st is coming up, the summer solstice, or winter solstice. That's the longest day of the year, and then be able to, you know, enjoy, you know, even if it's like 1 minute more of sunlight each day, realize that the days are getting longer slowly, so be able to appreciate, have gratitude for the longer days. And then, you know, things like open up, I'll be able to plan, you know, what you're going to do in the spring, you know, planning ahead for the longer months with spring and summer months with more light is a good thing to improve motivation. And be able to open up your senses, you know, when you are outside, you know, to take in the smells of the, you know, the flowers, or if it's just rained, you know, be able to smell the fresh air, hear the birds singing, freshness of the air, see the sky changing colors in the wintertime. Even though it can be dark and gloomy sometimes, it's the clouds can be just amazing. You know, when I'm swimming, I'll be doing backstroke, and I'll look up at the clouds and you know, see what kind of shapes they're forming. Oh, that looks like an angel, or that looks like a you know, feathers or something. You know, see what formations the sky, the clouds are forming, and just be able to, you know, be like a child, just like a child would look up with wonder at the clouds. Sometimes they're moving so fast in two different directions. If a storm is coming or if a storm is just clearing, it can be just so amazing to appreciate that. So there are things that really help you to get through those difficult times. And then also, you know, just really working on improving social life. So just being able to make sure that, you know, these days with everybody just so tied to their cell phones, we're getting, even though we're connected through social media, we're, you know, studies are showing we're more disconnected than ever because people are spending less face-to-face time. So really encouraging your athletes to spend more of their time, you know, talking to each other face to face, and just having, you know, in-depth conversations or fun conversations, and, you know, laughing, enjoying it to, you know, enjoy your endorphin high together if you're working out together. So social life is really important, and then improving your eating habits as well, because people, as I mentioned, were sometimes they eat too much or don't eat enough. So you want to really cut down on caffeine, especially afternoon and evening, to improve your sleep. And yeah, eat more fresh fruits, drink more water, juice to rehydrate, and be able to really see food as fuel for your body, not just food as comfort. Or something quick to grab. So really improving the eating habits. You know, beet juice is something new that a lot of athletes are discovering. Beets and beet juice, it really helps. You know, just having, you can get beet powder and having that, you know, and just mixing a scoop of it in water. I do that now right before each run, and I've noticed, you know, it really improves the oxygenation of the blood and improves your breathing and your energy level and your muscle performance. So something simple like that can help you perform better and then feel better about your performance too. So just and it's easy to get, kind of thing. So, and it's from a natural source, from beets. So that's something you could, a simple thing. Just, there's many nutritional tips, but that's just one idea for you. So yeah, so those are some tips to get through the winter. And then I wanted to just talk a little bit about some ideas for gratefulness too. First, I'll just check in with you to see if anyone have comments or about those ideas for getting through the winter months, or any experiences you have with that, or questions. Oh, Okay, well, let me talk about a little bit about just the best the ways that gratitude improves performance, because this is a huge thing with winter, is to have that that attitude of being grateful throughout the winter months. And it's really something that is a mindset, and so I think that we need to. The question is, why should athletes cultivate that attitude of gratitude? One reason is that gratitude encourages humility, first of all, so that you know, when you have that. A lot of times athletes feel so entitled, or they feel like they kind of take their sport for granted, but it's a way that we can just be humble and realize that this is something that's a gift, and a privilege, something that we get to do, not that we have to do. So, it's just being humble that way, and gratitude, it helps you with emotional control. So when we're all over the place emotionally, up and down, we tend to experience more positive emotions when we're so grateful. It lowers the stress level, and it promotes that problem solving and greater self-regulation. And gratitude, it really fosters that sense of being content for what you have. And I don't mean complacency, but being grateful for that you've received this, you know, say, involvement on the team, playing time, like athletes, you know, let's say you've been basketball and you've been on the bench, when you get to be playing, to be able to be grateful for that, for the time that you do have, rather than being upset about being put on the bench, be grateful for the playing time you do get. And if you're, you know, some athletes are have a scholarship to go to school, and they take that for granted, but to be able to be grateful every day for the chance to go to school, to a good college based on their sports ability, what a great gift to have. So just reminding them of that, and to be and to not just be grateful one time when you get the scholarship, but think about it every day. And then with teams, that gratitude really gives you a stronger team. Teams with relationships, they better relationships, they perform better. And so, you know, when you've got a gratitude, you act with more compassion and kindness, generosity, and, you know, you're kind of aware of other needs. So, and then with performance, it's really good to cultivate that consistent attitude of performance. It benefits your athletes physically and socially. And, you know, when you're grateful, you take better care of your body, and you can tolerate aches and pains and be able to check in with your body better. Listen, okay, which thing is the pain of effort, and which pain is, you know, say a joint pain, something I really need to pay attention to here and change something in my training. Gratitude actually improves sleep as well. Studies show that athletes sleep 10% more and feel more alert and focused during the day. So you want to feel alert and focused during your workouts. So that can be something that can we don't realize it can only help with your sleep and help with performance. So you want to encourage your athletes to give that kind of attitude of gratitude. And some ways to do that are to practice being coachable. First of all, you know, be able to value and appreciate your coaches. And, you know, take in, sometimes they don't always give the greatest advice, take in what you is helpful, and then be able to, and things that aren't, it's okay to for them to not, to just, you know, let it go, the things that are not useful. And then just be able to, when you're grateful, you want to be able to recognize athletes that don't often get noticed. You know, just being able to go up to another athlete and say, I'm grateful for your contribution on the team. Thanks for your support there. And just being able to recognize good plays and good qualities in your competitors. So that was a really good play. And then to ask, what's good about this situation? That's one way to really be grateful, to say what is helpful here. What's good about this, even if it's something a really tough situation, there's always something good you can find in a situation. There's going to be hardships, near misses. You're going to have injuries. There's losses. There's tough performances. But just understanding the ups and downs and realizing, okay, what's good about this? How can I use this to my advantage? And tell your athletes to ask themselves those questions. So let me just check in and see what with you guys, what questions do you have or responses to what we just talked about here? And also, what kind of a quick nugget, what did you find most helpful today? Matt and Evan and Michelle? Are you guys there? Let me know. Can you hear me okay? Can people...
I was in managing to unmute.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure that there wasn't a technical issue, that you could hear me okay. Could you hear that last part, what I was saying?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so... I liked the idea on the whole physiology, like what we're going through. You know, I'm not a doctor, and I'm doing that for myself, so I find it valuable to share that to the athletes. I like to, for the gratitude, I mean, that's something that I try to have the athletes realize, like on a regular basis, that just being grateful to be able to run, to swim, you know, at that level and to compete. And I noticed that a lot of them, that helped a lot of them, you know, just feel better, just deal better with nervousness and anxiety, just bringing that gratitude. So totally agree with that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. That's grateful. That's good to notice that, yeah. Yeah, it's just, even if the workout, if you didn't do some great improvements in the workout, that workout makes you feel better, and it's improving your health overall every day. So that's good, yeah, and it's good to have athletes remind themselves all the things that workout is doing for you. Yeah, it's just helping your mind. It's helping us, our memories. It's helping us to focus, be sharper mentally. And it's helping to maintain a good weight and fitness and so many things that just doing a workout is doing, right? Right, Evan? Yeah, thank you, Evan. And how about Matt and Michelle? Or Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. I usually when I start to say something, I interrupt somebody else. I'm like waiting for everybody else first. I don't want to interrupt.
Is waiting for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed just hearing about dealing a little bit more with, I'm trying to remember the acronym you used. I think it's the winter depression, the SAD acronym, right? And so, you know, that's one of the things that I know taking vitamin D3 and starting to work a little bit more on some of the rituals during the day, like you mentioned, I think that's really good. And those are changes that we have to make this time of year. So I just sort of took some notes there, checking off the boxes that we go over that with our athletes and reminding them that, maybe some of these things are going to be a little bit different during the winter months. I appreciate that. And I know I can't give recommendations on vitamin D3 and those kind of things, but do you suggest that to your clients? And if so, how much?
I'll have to, I know that, D3 is really great and just getting out in the sunlight gives you vitamin D in a natural way. So it's great to have, to tell athletes that too, to getting out in the sunshine. And, but I'll have to, get back to you on the specifics of how much to have, since I'm not a nutrition expert, but I think giving foods that have D3 in them and that sort of thing is, milk is good, but if people are lactose intolerant, then they can find another source of that. I think, collagen is a really good thing now. A lot of athletes are using it contains D3 and other really great substances that help with joints and help with energy and mood. And it's collagen now. You can see it in all the health food stores and Trader Joe's, and you get it in a powder form and can just mix a little scoop into water or soups or anything. So it's really easy to take. different. It's good to have those kinds of things and use natural sources to get that energy as opposed to just caffeine. Is really good. So thanks, Matt. It's always great to have you on the call and have your expertise in different of these areas too. And with the rituals throughout the day, like you mentioned, it's good to have them do a ritual of, say, write three things that I'm grateful for and have that as a something they do right in the first thing in the morning is a great time, or right before they go to bed at night, to have kind of a, not just open-ended, it could be an open-ended kind of journal, but to just write out, you could have a little form or something. Three things I'm grateful for, three things that went well today, three things that if things didn't go well, things that I want to do to improve on. Just doing that can really help. And it could be simple things like that. I'm glad, here in the Bay Area, we're so grateful to have electricity. Oh, my gosh. We've depended on this for so many years, and you probably heard it on national news that we had this huge, PG&E decided to shut down the power for 3 million people. Three-quarters of the Bay Area was out of no light, no heat, no computers, no cell phone, no internet for 3 days, at least 3 days, some people 5 days. It was just crazy. It's like we were living in a third world country because no refrigeration, all these things that we're used to, and then all of a sudden after 3 days, the power came back on again. They finally got things fixed, and it was because of fire. They were worried about their power equipment causing fires, which they did, because they're not upgrading their equipment well enough. It's a problem that they're trying to fix now. But all of a sudden, the PG&E came on, and it was like magic, like a miracle. Oh my God, lights! And I can use my computer. I can call people. All these things that we took for granted, all of a sudden I was so grateful for these things that I've had every day for my entire life. It was just amazing. Did anyone else have the power outage? I mean, it was mainly a California thing, mainly Bay Area. Matt, did you experience that power outage?
No, we didn't have a power outage here, but around us we did. So pretty close by, some of my clients did. And so, that was interesting. Starbucks was closed down for the first time.
Yeah, all these things that we depend on. So, every day, I'm grateful that I can turn on the lights and turn on my computer. things that I just took for granted before, all of a sudden it's something to be grateful for. So it's like you don't know how what you got until you lose it. You know, that famous saying, or sometimes you have to, and injuries, same thing with health. You don't know how good it is to be healthy as an athlete until you lose it, you're injured. And then all of a sudden you can be grateful again for being healthy. And Michelle, yeah, like with your athlete, Cirque du Soleil, she can now be grateful, to be healthy again every day. So Michelle, are you still there? I know she was having trouble with the internet and with a phone. But I'm going to see if Michelle is still there. Or if not, it's okay. Because, she's in Canada. So, yeah, it's great. I'm grateful for all three of you and all the other people that are on mute on the call here, too. So this is really great. And so anything that you want to add nuggets that were really especially helpful today, Evan or Matt or Michelle? I know we talked a little bit already. But things that I just want to encourage you to encourage your athletes and ourselves to practice these things, to do that yourself, to write down the three things that you're grateful for, three things you want to do today, it's just great. I'm grateful for this program, for us being able to get together. So the phone's working. that one time we had the power had just come back on, right? And I was able to do our call here. So grateful that we have phones that we can actually communicate and have these wonderful conversations. So and help each other to help our athletes. So yeah, it's just such a great thing to be able to have our community here and feel really good with you guys. So yeah, we'll have our call. I'll have a recording for this up shortly and my tips and notes too, plus the useful exercises for you that you can do with your athletes for winter months and gratefulness. And then December 19th, mark your calendar for that. So that'll be the third Thursday of the month, so we can do our next call before the holidays. So the 19th, same time, we'll talk to you then. And thank you, everyone, for coming. And we'll talk to you. Have a great week, and we'll be in touch. And I'm grateful for all of you. So thanks,
thank you.
Matt. Yeah. Thanks, Matt and Evan and Michelle and all the others on the call, too. And we'll be in touch and talk to you soon. Have a great week. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.